Johnny moved to the front of the platform. He knelt down to get his head at the level of theirs.
"Turn off that spotlight!"
he called to the back. It died.
"Turn off all recorders!"
he barked at the button cameras.
"They're off!"
a small, thin voice came back. Johnny looked at the audience.
"Turn off any recorders you are holding."
And to the small gray men.
"There must be no bank recorders on, and you must so attest."
The small gray men tapped their lapels with a twist.
"We attest they are off."
He certainly had their attention now. Riveted. Johnny turned his head to the lords. In a conspiratorial tone that they had to strain forward to hear, he said,
"You didn't think I would leave each one of you personally out of this, did you?"
They were very alert.
"What do your major firms manufacture?"
whispered Johnny.
"Armaments,"
came whispering back.
"And what do you think will happen to interests in those firms, to their stocks and bonds?"
The lords wondered that he didn't know.
"They'll crash."
"Precisely,"
said Johnny, still whispering.
"Let me tell you what this is really all about. If you went home and talked loudly and widely about a treaty forbidding all war, the stocks and bonds and interests in those armaments firms would go out the bottom. And if, without mentioning yet any plans to convert those firms to consumer products or the promises of the bank to make adequate loans, you and your friends let those armaments firms crash and then bought up all their shares and interests, possibly even with loans from the bank, you would own them utterly. Meanwhile, you would be heroes to the people for giving them money for food, and the rioting would stop. Then, when you were fully in control, the bank would make conversion loans. Those firms would boom. The merely wealthy would become millionaires. The millionaires would become billionaires."
He crouched there for a moment longer. Then he said,
"You must forget that I mentioned this, or even spoke of it."
He stood up. He waited. Had he been wrong? He couldn't be. Their thinking had been conditioned too long by the oppression of the cyclos. They began to buzz to one another. Then there was a little tittering laugh behind one hand, a drawing closer together of heads. Whispered remarks began to drift up to Johnny.
"I can get a new mistress."
"My wife always hated that old castle."
"I won't have to sell my yacht."
Their heads were together again, whispering. Johnny couldn't make it out. Then suddenly, Valjapan stood up among the mob.
"Lord Johnny, we have forgotten what you said. None of it will be repeated by us."
Valjapan seemed to grow in size.
"Build your platforms. We are going to write the toughest, claw-proof, iron-hard, most vicious anti-war treaty you have ever heard of."
He turned toward the back.
"Turn on the lights! Turn on the recorders!"
Almost as one being, the audience stood. They began to shout,
"Long live Lord Johnny! Long live Lord Johnny!"
The applause was enough to knock one down. Colonel Yvonne let out a gusty sigh of relief and took his finger off his gun trigger. Then he hastily formed up troopers in a zone of protection to get Johnny out of there and back to the small meeting room. These lords were pounding Johnny on the back, almost knocking him down. Bedlam! He didn't know what Johnny had said or how he had turned it around. He didn't speculate. He just concentrated on getting Johnny out of there before they smashed him with good intentions. Knowing Johnny, the reversal did not surprise him. That was life, living around Johnny Good Boy Tyler.
End of CD 40.